One moment of encounter with the Word of God is a life-changing experience. Join us at Word Feast International as we journey through dimensions of His Word.
For the entrance of Thy Word give it light and understanding unto the simple.
This meeting. Directing us faithfully. Every precious word and promise that He made to us from the beginning of this meeting. Meticulously, the functionaries of the Spirit have been making sure that it has been actualized. And tonight we still want to trust God for greater help. I have the privilege of bringing up my brother. The first time I listened to him, and I loved his spirit, and I call him my brother because he's not just my brother, but he's also a senior brother at that. And nonetheless, when he speaks, you will know where we come from and where he comes from. I thank God for the grace of God upon his life. I would want to also request that you help your neighbor in case if your neighbor is tired. Nonetheless, it's so impossible, even while men sleep. As long as the right thing is what you are sure that you are saying into your lives. And so you are very sure that you are in the right place. When you wake up, you will notice that it's not that the enemy has done this, but God has done something else. And we trust God that He would help us. Let's make welcome our senior brother in ministry, all the way from Benue State, Makurdi, Pastor Mike Orogo. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm sure you've been having wonderful moments in God's presence. So when I walked into this place, the atmosphere was so deep. I know so much has gone down. I'll be trusting God this evening to add my quota to what God has already begun to do. Praise the Lord. It's my honor and privilege tonight to be standing before God's people. I don't take it for granted that I've been invited here to minister to you the word of the Lord. Please celebrate my dear brother, Pastor TD, for this privilege. Glory to God. You know, I was telling him this evening while we met, I said, ministry is actually an overflow of your walk with the Lord. And the intention of it is to create a platform where Jesus will be pedestalized as King, and everybody can see Him and come close to Him. The Bible said, on the last day, the house of the Lord shall be the mount of the Lord. And it's a man of all nations shall come thereby. They shall come to Him to draw from Him. The men that God calls, God gives them the privilege and the responsibility to create a mountain for God where Jesus is seen as the Lord and the Christ, so that everyone can come to Him to draw perspective, draw ideologies and philosophies for their lives. And every one of us that have come here tonight, trusting God that the Lord is going to recalibrate your vista so that you see from the accurate perspective of the kingdom, and a new dimension of His life will begin to find expression through you. Hallelujah. Can we just lift up our voices tonight and talk to the Lord? Can you be a little more personal about it? You be personal about it. You see, there's a temptation of becoming religious. There's a temptation of becoming very religious because you have come to a place where everybody is praying. Make it very personal. Oh my God, people are
Rapabundo sopra kido salaga bandre nigi sakapata rapate ke bundo sopra da bafara fila rapundo se kapali go dondre kila para ga bafara rapapapa kila para baba bundre nigi sakapas. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you help me quiet?
Puridima, puridima.
Now align your soul tonight. I know before now you have been so charged, but just align your soul tonight. Let's build up gradually.
Tonight, for the privilege that we have once again to gather under the pavilion of your spirit, we ask that you instruct us by your Holy Ghost, instruct us by your spirit, that word of the spirit that we require to step into deeper places with you. We ask that that word comes to us tonight. We ask that the help of the spirit that is needed to carry us through the affairs of your world, carry us through the workings of your life, that help of the Spirit will come to everyone tonight. We ask that, oh God, let the Spirit of wisdom and revelation be poured upon this building, and let utterance be granted to explain your wisdom, your counsel, your ways. Oh Lord, I ask that everyone that has come with a burden in their heart, that you will meet them at the point of their needs. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. See, you may be seated. God bless you. Bless you. God bless you. See, sometimes when you come to a meeting, your first responsibility is to create a wavelength of operations. But there are meetings that before you come into, it has already been set. The stage has already been set. And when you begin to grow in God, when maturity begins to come to your walk with the Lord, you begin to learn that it's not about performance. It's about transformation. It's about becoming. So sometimes you come for a meeting and the whole place is charged. You have to step it down, so that they can receive the word of the Lord. When we were much younger in the things of God, the goal was to see everywhere scattered. You see, everywhere has to be on fire. But over time, we realized that it is the word of the Lord that changes men.
And some people go for meetings where the anointing of God is so strong, but they leave the meeting not transformed. The euphoria of the presence of God that they're basking lasts for a day or two, and it dies down. And then they go back to their former ways of living. That's not the objective of the kingdom. The objective of the kingdom is to raise functionaries for God. People who can bear the burden and the heartbeat of the king. It takes a lot of dealings of the Holy Spirit to bring you to a point where you become that entity that is concerned about the burden in the heart of the Father. The contract of salvation was prosecuted on two phases. The first phase takes care of your challenges. The first phase takes care of your needs. The second and most important phase of that contract takes care of the need of God. And until we come into maturity and take responsibilities in the kingdom, our needs will be met, but the needs of God will not be met. And you see, we were not created for ourselves. We were created for His glory. The Bible said, for His pleasure all things were made. So the heavier part of salvation is for us to begin to meet the need of the Father. And that is why it becomes very important to bring the teaching of God's word, so that people can grow and come to a point of maturity. We have a system today where people pray every day, and all the prayers summarized is in asking God for something. Nobody is asking God what He will have them do. But the men that wrought wonders in the kingdom were men that asked God, what will you have me do? The reason Paul was so mighty was because his first encounter, he had understanding of the labors of the kingdom. He said, Lord, what will you have me do? There is a place in God where you can never get to until your prayer point changes from Lord, give me, to Lord, what will you have me do? That's when you begin to grow in God. And the thing is, you don't come there by desire, just desire. You come there by training. You come there by process. The Spirit of God works Himself through you until you come to a point where you begin to think His thoughts. You begin to feel His feelings. You can literally perceive His heartbeat. Then you begin to live for God, not for self. That's the goal of the faith. And tonight I'm trusting God that before I round up, a lot of persons will be plagued in their hearts. You'll be pricked in your heart so much so that you will make a decision for Jesus. Because the gospel of the kingdom brings people to that point. And that's the gospel we preach. Hallelujah. Can we open to our anchor text tonight, so that we have direction? The anointing begins to well up. It becomes a challenge to control the flow. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6 to 12. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the less, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the less well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, he will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, and he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he hath brought down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high, and the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down. Lay low and bring to the ground, even to the dust. Hallelujah. You see, I had to read the scripture, but the burden in my heart is beyond here. But sometimes you have to begin where you are told to begin. You see, when you get to the river, you start from the bank. But where you go to is subject to your discretion. So let me respect the planners of the program and begin from here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hope you are hearing me clearly at the back. The sound is clear, right? Glory to Jesus. You see, if you summarize this scripture that we have read, it will be captioned under three syllables. If you summarize the scripture that we have read, you can categorize them under three. The first is deliverance. The second is consecration. And the third is the blessing. Hallelujah. The first is what? Deliverance. The second is consecration. The third is the blessing. You know, he began to speak, he said, upon that mountain, the Lord will organize a fast feast. He speaks of the blessings of God that we have when we come into his presence. The second syllable in that scripture tells us about how that God is going to subdue the enemy and break the covering cast. He speaks of deliverance. And the third part says, the Lord is our God. It talks about being consecrated unto the Lord. These are three broad categories upon which that scripture can be itemized. But before we begin to touch every layer of that syllable, I will have you know that you cannot begin to talk about the mountain of God unless you have understanding of the provision of the kingdom. Because when we speak of the mountain of God, we are talking about the administrative headquarters of the operations of God. God operates based on legal procedures, legal principles. In fact, the kingdom of God is designed such that it functions within very rigid legal contexts. Without legalities, the kingdom of God cannot find expression. So when you begin to talk about the mountain of the Lord, you are beginning to interact with the administrative headquarters, the government and the policy system of the heavens of God. And this whole scripture that we have itemized into three syllables is just talking about one context of the operations in the kingdom of God. It's the context of the covenant. If you begin to function from the heights of the heavens of God, if you begin to look at the government of the heavens, there are different layers of operation. One of those layers of operation is called the covenant. It is in the sphere of the covenant that you have the blessing, you have deliverance, and you have consecration. But there are many other layers. For instance, when you talk about the kingdom of God, you have to deal with voices. It is the voices in the kingdom of God that are responsible for administration. There are nine voices that speaks in the courts of heaven. Are you with me? There are nine voices that speaks in what? In the courts of heaven. Those voices are responsible for administration. Part of the administration is what you have, the covenant. And I'm telling you that it is in the covenant that we have these three broad categories that we are looking at. Are we together? If you read the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 22, you'll see eight out of the nine voices that speaks in the courts of heaven. One of them is the voice of the judge. Another one is the voice of the church of the firstborn. Another one is the voice of the blood of sprinkling. Another one is the voice of the innumerable company of angels. Another one is the voice of the general assembly. Another one is the voice of the city of Jerusalem itself. And the last one is the voice of your giving. That one is not captured in that scripture, but it forms the nine voices that speaks in the courts of heaven. And some of the things that those voices administer for is the covenant. And within the context of the covenant, I'm telling you that we have three operations that have been itemized in this scripture. The first one is deliverance. The second one is consecration. And the third one is the blessing. If you read the book of Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible said, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, there shall be holiness, and the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. Tonight, I'm going to be talking to you about the blessing, which is the possession that we have upon the mountain of God. Because you have come to the mountain of God. If you come to the mountain of God and you spend these 3 days and go back, and you cannot point any very graphic change in your life or any product of your being on the mountain of God, then you have not made the most of the mountain. It will just be added to your archive. And you will go back and tell stories that so time I was also on the mountain and I spent 3 days. You know what it will do to you? It will boost your pride. And instead of coming closer to God, you would have traveled far away from God. You see, that's why some people engage in prayers. And when they go, the only result they have from prayers is being falling. They fall away from God. Because their prayer enterprise becomes a pride. Everywhere they go, they quote out that they pray for 10 hours. So the goal of prayer is already defeated because they don't understand the context from which we have operations in the kingdom. Some people fast for many years, and every time they come to preach, they tell you how that they have fasted for 10 years. So the purpose of fasting is defeated. What they do is they labor in the flesh because they don't understand the essence, the cardinal essence for which the operations that they are carrying out is designed. Tonight, I want to show you the blessing so that if you don't lay hold on anything from this mountain, you will lay hold on the blessing. You know, there are many preachers coming and everybody will try to do doctrinal exegesis to give you understanding and perspective as to the essence and the meaning of this scripture. But I am come tonight not to address matters of doctrine. I've come tonight to give you a gift that you leave this mountain with. If you want to do doctrine, go to Bible school and learn thoroughly. But when you engage the Spirit, make sure that you receive something from the Spirit. That is the doctrine of the apostles. The Bible said, holy men of God, they spake as they were carried by the Spirit of God. The scriptures that you are reading is a function of interaction that men had in the Spirit. So every time they entered into the Spirit, they trapped something from the Spirit realm. Those things they trapped is what have become benefit for you and I. If the apostles were only entering into the Spirit realm for fun, you won't have the scriptures today. Every one of us will be confused and the body of Christ will have an amorphous shape. Everybody going in his own direction. But they understood how to maximize the Spirit realm. So every time they entered into the Spirit realm, they laid hold on something. One of the things they caught from the Spirit realm is what we call the written scriptures. The Bible said, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture for any individual interpretation. They say, holy men of God spake as they were carried. Every time they were carried in the Spirit realm, they caught the utterances of God and they crystallized those utterances on papers, on doctrine, so that many years, many people can look upon those writings and it will become the philosophy for their lives. Every time you come to the mountain of God, you must lay hold on something. Prayer itself is not an end. Prayer is a means to an end. The blessing is what I want to reveal to you tonight. So that as you have come upon the mountain of the Lord, you will live here a changed man. Because the enterprise of spirituality is an enterprise for kingdom advancement. It's an enterprise for territorial dominion. And if you don't understand how to engage those enterprises, you will bask in the Spirit and every time your life will have no shape. Your life will have no meaning. And even the very essence for that enterprise will be defeated. Tonight, I want to show you what is the blessing. On Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness. And the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. Quickly, somebody say the blessing is the Spirit. Somebody say the blessing is what? Is the Spirit. The blessing is the Spirit. Can you tell your neighbor the blessing is the Spirit? Oh my God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Let me show you some scriptures before we begin to fly. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. The Bible said, in whom also ye trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He said, which is the earnest of the inheritance. He said, upon Mount Zion, there shall be what? There shall be deliverance. The sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. He said, the earnest of the inheritance is what? Is the Spirit. The earnest of the inheritance is what? The Spirit. If you have not laid hold on the Spirit, if you have not touched the person of the Spirit, then you have not ascended the mountain. Many of you know about the Spirit. Many of you have heard of the Spirit, but very few know the person of the Spirit. You see, the Spirit is a promise that was given to you as a gift. He was given to you as what? As a gift. You could not have done anything to receive Him. In fact, a price was paid for you to receive Him. Now, every time you interact with God on His mountain, what happens is that heavier measures of the Spirit is released upon you. That is what changes your life from sorrow to beauty. He said, until the Spirit be poured upon us again from on high. Now, where is the Spirit poured upon us? Think, Lord. Psalm 133, the Bible said, behold, how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. He said, it is like the oil dripping from the head of Aaron to his beard down to his head. He said, it is like the dew upon Mount Hermon. There, the Lord commanded his blessings. If you are a participator of the activity on the mountain, even if you do not know how, what happens is that there is a corporate ranking that we achieve in worship that causes the Spirit of God to descend upon us. The reason for teaching on the mountain is so that you can see, because the Spirit of necessity must rest. Are we together? Okay, let me show you another scripture. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. See what the Bible says. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. It's verse 13, right? So you can read it there and see for yourself. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. 14 says, that the blessings of Abraham come upon the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see that the totality of our inheritance is God, is called the Spirit. A lot are not taught. So when they come to God, they pursue things. Our only objective in the kingdom is the apprehension of the Spirit. When you pray, your goal is not time. A lot of spiritual brethren have missed it. You see them in the place of prayer with so much vigor, but their goal is to beat 5 hours. Their goal is to beat 10 hours. But the Holy Ghost is far from them. So they pray for 10 hours, but they don't hear a whisper from the Holy Spirit. There are brethren that fast for 21 days. Their goal is time. At the end of that activity, they don't hear anything from the Holy Ghost. The goal is the person, the Spirit. Everything you will ever have in God is already encapsulated in the Holy Spirit. Your apprehension of the Spirit of God is your apprehension of your health, apprehension of your riches, is your apprehension of vitality. You must therefore make every demand upon yourself to apprehend the person of the Holy Spirit. There are people who are given to all kinds of activity now. Activity does not change anybody. Activity does not transform anybody. It is the supply of the Spirit that makes the difference. I'm a traveling minister. I move around the country virtually every week. I can set this place on fire in 15 minutes. But I've come to discover that most times people don't even hear what we say. So in recent times, I take time to emphasize some of these basics. When you go to the place of prayer, what do you focus on? Consciously focus on the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit of God is being released already upon this mountain, and you have been there here for more than 24 hours, what has God told you as an individual? What has God whispered to your heart since you came? Activities are going on. Power of God is moving. A lot of things are happening. What have you heard from God? What have you apprehended already? Who told you you will get it tomorrow? Come and be carried in the bandwagon and think you are doing something. The moment you are separated, you discover you are empty. The possession that is given upon the mount is the Spirit. And everyone that comes to the mountain of the Lord must lay hold on the Spirit. Are we together? Everyone that comes to the mount of the Lord must do what? Must lay hold on the Spirit. It took God a lot for the Spirit to be supplied. That's what a lot of us don't know. You see, when Jesus was in the world carrying out his earthly ministry, he was the only person in possession of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? But the goal of Jesus was to ensure that every one of us have the Holy Spirit. Now, have you asked yourself, why does God want you to have the Holy Spirit? In fact, the Bible said, everything that Jesus did, he did by the Father who was in him. Speaking about the Holy Spirit. Are we together? Now, when Jesus finished his earthly ministry, the promise of the Father was released to the world. In Psalm 110, verse 1 to 3, the Bible speaks of what happened when Jesus ascended and sat at the right hand of God. He said, the rod of thy strength shall ascend out of Zion. That was when the Holy Ghost was giving marching orders from heaven, and he left heaven and came to earth. The apostles in the place of prayers, which is also a prophetic mountain, trapped the Holy Spirit, and immediately they began to advance the kingdom. When Peter was asked why and what was going on, he told them in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 30 to 36, he said, that same Jesus whom you crucified is today being exalted as Lord and Christ. So the release of the Spirit of God is an evidence that Jesus is the Lord over your life. But it has a purpose. What is the purpose for the release of the Spirit? You see, God does not do things because he wants to do things. God do things because there are definite purpose for what he does. And if you have not understood the purpose for which God is doing what he's doing, you can never make the most of it. That is why it's as if most of us don't have our possessions. Are we together? Because even when we have it, we don't know the purpose. And as Moreau said, when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. And you cannot abuse the things of God. So if you don't know the purpose for its giving, then you can never operate in its reality. If you don't know the purpose for which it is given, you can never operate in its reality. Why then was the Holy Spirit given? Why was the Holy Ghost given? Why would Jesus have to go through the perils of dying, the pains and the agony, for the Holy Spirit to be supplied? It has a purpose. And that's the purpose for which we are all gathered. You see, before the fall of man, hallelujah, before the fall of man, you know, tonight, I'm just trying to build the foundation. You can't just come and just start jumping. I just try to build the foundation, get you to a point where I want before. Before the fall of man, man knew God as the Elohim. The word Elohim means the Almighty. It speaks of the all-powerful nature of God. Elohim, Almighty. Now, this dimension of God that was revealed was the might of God in his creative ability. Because he had all powers. He had the authority to create all things. He had the power to create everything. So he was called the Almighty. Now, the dimension of the Almighty that man knew was the fatherhood dimension. So So in the context of the fatherhood dimension, everything that man required, God provided for him, even before he could ask for it. Now, because man knew God in this context, man became completely oblivious of the legal system of heaven. So he felt everything was at his beck and call. He didn't know that the same God that provided everything was also the righteous God that will judge all kinds of iniquity. So man knew him as Elohim until the day he fell. Suddenly, the Elohim he knew became Jehovah. And the Jehovah that showed up came to judge him. Suddenly, the provided things began to chase him away from what he was provided to have. The reason is because what was provided was not just for luxury. What was provided had a definite purpose. I'm going somewhere. What was provided had what? A definite purpose. Man felt everything was provided for luxury. And the moment he defied the protocol for the provision that was made for him, he was sentenced out of that. Because he was not provided for luxury. He was provided for purpose. And he didn't know it. Suddenly, the God that always came to have fellowship with him now came to judge him. And that man did not learn the lesson of transferring that knowledge to his children. The same thing began to happen from his own descendants. You know, God was very playful. God was very jovial. Either. So much so that they could interact and talk to God on a very careless note. You know how it is when you go to pray and then you just lie down and cross your leg on the bed and say, Lord, you know, I'm tired. Thank you. I love you. You know those kind of things. They were used to God like that. You know, they could just come to God and say, God, how are you doing? Yeah, Lord, thank you for today. And then they sleep off. They are going out. They can't just wait to pray for 5 minutes. As they are going out, the Lord, take over. Thank you. Take over. And they are gone. You know, they became very jovial and playful with God like that. Until one day, they came to provide an offering to the Lord. And suddenly, the offering of Abel was accepted. And the offering of Cain was rejected. And God told Cain, why are you rough? Why is your countenance down? If you did right, you will be applauded. Instead of Cain learning the lesson, he thought it was the same jovial God that he knew. And he went and slew his brother. And God showed up and began to speak from the mountain of God. And he said, Cain, Cain, where is thy brother? And Cain said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? You see, the answer that Cain gave showed you the kind of relationship that Cain had with God. You see, when a man already knows the spirit, he can discern the mood of the spirit. For a man who knows God, for a man who knows the Holy Spirit, he knows when the Holy Ghost shows up as a king. He knows when the Holy Ghost shows up as a judge. He knows when the Holy Ghost shows up as a friend. He knows when the Holy Ghost shows up as a father. So his response with the Holy Ghost is based on his understanding of who he is at time. These guys did not know God because they had not apprehended who God was. They were only interacting with God, friendly note, and they thought all God was but what they knew. Until a point came where they broke the legal system of heaven. And God said, where is thy brother? Cain said, I am not my brother's keeper. Suddenly, God began to open a new syllabus to him. He said, the voice of thy brother is crying to me from the ground. The story had changed. The voice of thy brother is crying to me from the ground. He said, the very ground that opened its mouth to suck thy brother's blood has cost thee. He said, from today, it shall not give you thy strength anymore. And he said, you shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the face of the earth. When you do not know the purpose of the blessing can fight you. Do you see why a lot of Christians, their lives look wayward and careless? They are praying, they are doing all kinds of things, but it seems as if the people in the world are prospering more. Because you don't understand how the protocol of the possession that you have received is. The possession that you have received is not material. The possession you have received is a person. His name, the Holy Ghost. And he has feelings. He has emotions. He has will. He has purpose. He has the reason for his interaction with you. That blessing is meant for your glory. But if you do not know how to interact with that blessing sufficiently, a point will come in your life where that blessing will become the reason why you are cursed. Where is thy brother? Am I my brother's keeper? So why did you receive the blessing? You receive the blessing for two reasons. The first reason is to redeem you from the falling state. Is to redeem you from what? Falling state. I know you've been here for long. Don't worry. You made a statement. You say even when they are sleeping, sowing can take place. Hallelujah. The purpose is first of all to what?
to redeem you. Now, when man fell, something happened. Something happened when man fell. Are we together? The man that God created this man with three cardinal essence. The first was to be in the image of God. The second was to be in the likeness of God. And the third was to have dominion. Are we together? Now, the effect of the fall of man was three, apart from his environment, all right? Personally, the effect of man were three. He was denatured. Are we together? The man was what? Was denatured. So instead of being the image of God, he took the image of the devil. So Jesus would tell the Pharisees that you are of your father, the devil. So the nature that was supposed to be the nature of God became the nature of the devil, a serpentine nature. Secondly, the likeness of man, which was supposed to be the character and the expression, the ability of God, was also the nature. And man began to operate like the world system. And thirdly, the dominion that this man was supposed to have was also subjugated. So instead of having dominion over the earth, the man became dominated. So three things happened. The image of God was replaced with the lust of the eyes. The likeness of God was replaced with the lust of the flesh. And the dominion that he had was replaced with the pride of life. Listen now. According to the law of the Spirit, what you see, you become. Pay attention. What you see, you do what? You become. The Bible said in 3 verse 1, it said, behold, what manner of love the Father have bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be like, but when we shall see him, we shall be like him. The moment the man fell, what happened is that his vistas were denatured. He could no longer see God. So what he sees now was the serpent. And the more he saw the serpent, the more he became like the serpent. That was the denaturing that the man suffered on account of the fall. Secondly, the man began to eat and eat only the things that were of the world. So he took the nature of the world. What you eat is what you be like. The man only ate what came out of the world. So his whole constitution was dominated by the world. And he became a complete entity of the world. And lastly, the man became a proud man. Instead of having dominion, he tries to fake it because he doesn't have the power for it anymore. The power to dominate was no longer there. So he needs to fake it. And every time he fakes it and assumes to be it or make be like, what he's doing is that he is manifesting the nature of pride because dominion is lost. The Holy Spirit, which is the possession we have received, came first of all to restore the denatured man. That is why every time you come to the mountain of the Lord and you apprehend the Holy Spirit, the first thing you notice is that there is inward transformation. There is what? Inward transformation. The denatured man is what? Restored. Are we together? Secondly, what the possession does is that it gives you authority for dominion. What do you dominate? In dominion, we advance the kingdom. We do what? We advance the kingdom. Pay attention. The nature is corrected and the kingdom is what? Is advanced. Those are the two cardinal reasons for the possession of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit and you are not enjoying transformation, then you need to come to the mountain and receive higher measure. Because the first goal is what? Transformation. If you study the life of Jesus, everything Jesus did was by the Spirit. The Bible said in Luke chapter 2 verse 40 that he grew in the Spirit. In Matthew, he was led. Matthew chapter 4 verse 1, he said he was led of the Spirit. Everything he did was by the Spirit. In the book of Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 2, he through the Spirit gave commandments to the apostles. Because Jesus knew that because man is falling, nothing done by the nature of man can succeed anymore. Unless it is filtered through the vista of the Holy Spirit. So he had the Spirit without measure. Every one of us once and again must come to the mountain of God to receive
replenishing of the Holy Spirit. When the apostles were being threatened, they went back to their own company. The Bible said they lifted their voices and they prayed, and the Spirit of God fell upon them, and they received boldness. And that speaks of the second thing that the Spirit does, to advance the kingdom. See, in the last days which we are in now, the only responsibility we have is to advance the kingdom. I'm coming from a place where just step out of your house and then your place has been raided. People have been killed. There is a battle going on in the world currently. It's a battle of kingdom domination. Every one of us have been called to advance the kingdom. Every one of us have been called to do what? To advance the kingdom. What is the kingdom? I'm trying to tie my knots now. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the governing influence of the Holy Spirit over the soul of a man. The kingdom is what? The governing influence of the Holy Spirit over the soul of a man. The kingdom is what? The governing influence of the Holy Spirit over the soul of a man. You must be brought under the authority of that government. And every time a man is apprehended by that government, that man becomes an extension of that government. So you go about releasing the Spirit to others so that they too will come under that government. Every one of us must come under what? The governing influence of the Holy Spirit. And as you have come under the governing influence of the Holy Spirit, what happens is that you begin to advance the same. The reason you have come to the mount of the Lord tonight is so that you can receive the supply of the Spirit. First of all, to govern your soul and to bring you under obedience to the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, to advance the same to your world. You manifest it by your words, by your character, by everything that proceeds out of you. We are in a system today where people preach gospels that allow them to do what they want because there is forgiveness. I told you when I started, if that is all you know, then your needs have been met, but the needs of God have not been met. Because the need of God is to bring all creation under obedience to His government. The 20 and 4 elders, the Bible said, they fell on their faces. And as they worshipped, they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And one of the things they said is that, "All things were made for thy pleasure. All things were made for thy pleasure." Until your life comes under the government of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be pleasurable to the Lord. And the moment your life comes under the government of the Holy Spirit, what happens is that it becomes contagious to other people. You bring others also under that government. So you are no longer just pleasurable to the Lord, but everything around you becomes pleasurable to the Lord. That's where the power is. Hallelujah. You can see people praying in tongues every day, but there is no power. There is no power because what tongues does for you is to force you to ascend in faith. Is to open your sensitivity to God so that you can hear Him better. In fact, when you pray in tongues, what happens is that that government becomes stronger. Some of the things you were doing before that the Holy Ghost didn't say anything, suddenly you start hearing Him rebuke you. And it could be as simple as talking. You talk so much and He's grieved. If you want to function in the kingdom, then you have to stop. It could be as eating excessively. It could be as simple as neglecting a lot of things. And the Holy Ghost wants to be part of every aspect. Have you seen somebody who is under the influence of a marine? Everything they do, the Spirit wants to be manifested. In their talking, they try to entice people. In their dressing, in their walking, everywhere they are, they want to manifest. Spirit wants to be manifested through you. And the only way they can manifest through you is if you are obedient to them. The difference between the Holy Spirit and the demon is that he will not force you. A demon takes breaks the law, the Holy Ghost is the one that sets the laws of the Spirit. He will not break the laws of the Spirit. So what he does is that he suggests it to you. The more you yield to him, the more he manifests himself through you. That is why your life becomes a living sacrifice. Because you will willingly submit yourself. You will be dying, but your eyes will be open. But if you continue like that, over time you discover that the denatured man is beginning to be reconfigured. Suddenly you discover the lust of the eyes begin to diminish. The lust of the flesh begins to diminish. The pride of life begins to diminish. What the Holy Ghost is trying to achieve through obedience is to bring you to a point where people looking at you will be looking at him. People talking to you will be talking to him. Everywhere you go, he's the one that they see. Reinhard Bonnke entered South Africa to buy something, and the seller just looked at him and began to cry. And he asked the Lord, "What happened?" And the Lord said, "He saw me through your eyes." You don't get to that level by praying. You don't get to that level by fasting. You get to that level through obedience. What prayer and fasting does for you is it energizes your spirit to obey. Because you cannot obey with your will. Why? Your will is already subjugated. Your will has been subjugated. Only pride is now finding expression through your will. You cannot achieve it by emotion because your emotion has been corrupted. The only way you can achieve it is by aligning to the government of the Holy Spirit. A point comes where you come to a city and everything you do, God is manifested. A story was told about Lester Sumro. He entered the city, and the moment he entered that city, darkness of 25 years was rolled away. And a young preacher got up and said, "Lord, I've been praying for this darkness for many years." He said, "Because my son Lester Sumro came into the city, the darkness, he didn't pray darkness." What happened is that through obedience, he had gained a status with God that everywhere he appeared, it is the government that shows up. The calling that we have is a calling onto a supernatural living. But the only way for you to manifest. That's why the gospel is nothing worse. I can choose to come here and not preach to you. If I lift the song and begin to sing, the kingdom of God will begin to find expression. It's nothing worse. Paul said the kingdom of God is in the demonstration of power. That power is achieved through obedience. Every time you obey, you die. Every time you obey, you die. And every time you die, God manifests. Every time you die, God rises on your inside. God can only express himself through a dead man. Because everywhere that self, God is killed. The only way God can find expression is for self to give way. And self can only give way on the altar of obedience. Do you know why the great men always have to pass through hurdles? It's not because God is interested in seeing people suffer. But if they do not go through those paths, God cannot be revealed through them. In the case of Abraham, God had to carry him through a journey of many years of obedience. He said, "Leave thy kingdom, leave thy kindred, leave thy father's house, and come to the land that I will show you, and I will bless you." Abraham carried Lot. And as Abraham carried Lot, God did not speak to him until Lot separated from Abraham. And the Bible said, the moment Lot separated from Abraham, in Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, God said, "Lift up thy eyes and see. From the north, the south, the east, the west." He said, "As much as you can see, I've given to you." After God gave Abraham the son, it was as if he had achieved obedience. God said, "Keep that child." The moment Abraham obeyed, God didn't let him. What God was trying to achieve was to kill self, was to kill ambition, was to kill appetite, was to kill his own objective, so that the objective of God can find expression. And God said, "Because I have done this, I now know that you fear me." And he said, "In blessings, I will bless you." See, in the kingdom, we don't pray for things. When you have received the Holy Spirit, you have received all things. The Holy Ghost is your health. The Holy Ghost is your riches. The Holy Ghost is your power. What you need to do is to obey him. The more you obey, the more he manifests. And every area of your life that the Holy Ghost begins to manifest, God begins to manifest. Why do you waste your time praying for what to eat and drink? The Bible said that is what the pagans do. Why would a Christian be praying for what to eat and drink? Jesus said that's what the heathens do. We don't pray for those things. Our goal is to align with him every day. Every day I wake up in the morning, I pray for grace to obey. The more you obey, the more God is seen. It is a simple thing for you to take over your world. Only 12 men shook the foundation of their world.
because they were obedient to the Holy Spirit. That is what is lacking in the body of Christ today. They come to tell you that anything you do can be forgiven. Yes, God will forgive you, but you will never amount to anything in God. And your voice can never speak for Him. Neither can He manifest through your generation. A day is coming where God will place a demand on your life. And until you come to that point where God can place a demand on your life, you have not begun to walk with Him. The journey of the faith is not a journey unto receiving. It's a journey to walk with the Lord. And only men of obedience will walk with the Lord. There was a time in my life when my walk with God became intense. And God began to place demand upon my life. I was going to the house and one day, a voice walked out of the wall. And I saw it coming towards me. You know, there are so many things in the spirit realm that you never know until you make up your mind to go deeper with God. You will not know what it means for a voice to walk until you are willing to obey. I was going to the house and a voice walked out of the wall. And I heard what the voice was saying. And the voice was speaking and echoing it to me. He said, "Mike, leave Chidera. You will see my power in your life." Chidera was my idol. I loved her with all of my heart. I didn't have anything carnal with her. But God wanted me to die. And that day He said, "Leave Chidera. You will see my power in your life." That day I had the privilege of seeing the voice of God walking into me. And the strength entered. It took me 4 months to obey. But the day I obeyed, my soul entered another level of alignment. I walked into the prayer tent. And I came. The moment I entered the prayer tent, the neighbors were shouting. A spirit hit the lady on the chest and she fell and died. The lady had died for 3 hours. And I called my friend and I said, "Let's go there." We went there and we prayed and the lady came back to life. That was the first time I prayed for the dead and the dead came back to life. Not because I have faith for praying for the dead. What obedience does to you is that it recalibrates your lenses. You see, do you know a converging lens? Have you seen a converging lens? If you want a converging lens to burn, what you need to do is be arranging it, shift it close to the light. A point comes where you hit the focal length. When you hit the focal length, the light converges. Anything that light touch begins to burn. If you want to walk beyond faith, you need to subscribe to obedience. I didn't have the faith to raise the dead. I only had obedience. And he said, when your obedience is fulfilled, you will avenge other disobedience. The reason your walk with God looks epileptic is because you have not introduced obedience into the equation. When obedience is added into the equation, what happens is that life begins to find expression through you. Every gate and every chamber of your soul that is locked will begin to open up. It will begin to open up. Every one of us have the fullness of God in our spirit. Don't be deceived. The guy doing mighty things does not have more God. The only difference is that his soul can conduct more God than your soul can conduct. If you want your soul to begin to conduct the Lord, subscribe to the portals of obedience. The voice of the Holy Ghost is clear to every one of us. It's clear to every one of us. The difference is obedience. The more you hear and obey, the more instructions you receive. It doesn't begin by calling names. The goal is not calling names. When God entrusts a man with the ability to call names and judge iniquity, it's because pride has been dealt with sufficiently. Because when that man calls that name, it's not for the show. He's calling that name so that faith can arise in the heart of the person. But a man who has not subscribed to obedience, when he calls name, he wants you to hear it on Facebook. He wants you to hear it on Twitter. That him too calls name. The goal is not calling of name. The goal is deliverance. Deliverance is about to be engendered. And only a man of sufficient stature will be given the privilege of orchestrating that deliverance. And that happens on the altar of obedience. Tonight, I want to let you know that the only way to apprehend the spirit is to accept the path of obedience. It's a narrow path. Not many choose it. Only few choose that path because it's not a convenient path. That's the path you choose when the Holy Ghost has the liberty to tap you by 1 a.m. and say, "Get up and pray." He knows you slept by 12, but now He said, "Get up." He said, "Get up and pray." You see, at first you'll be struggling with sleep because you think God wants to deny you of sleep. A point comes when you do it for long, as you stand up by 1 to pray, then the Lord opens your eyes and then He shows you that somebody is about to be killed in Lewi. But because you have reason, that person will live. You don't know how people become great in the kingdom. That's why you think it's all about praying. You come for prayer meeting and then you are shouting for everybody to see you. My brother, you will pray like that for long and you will not amount to anything. After you are done with the prayer meeting, then the Holy Ghost comes. The Holy Ghost shows up. You buy the dress. You trim it, you want to go out. You open the cleavages. And then He says, "Oh, don't wear this dress again." The people are waiting to see you. You want to slay everybody because you are the slave queen. He said, don't wear that dress. That's where the power is. The power is not just in talking in tongues. That time when you go out and then a beggar passes and he says, give him that. That's the only thing you have to eat. He said, give it to him. Those are the gate to power. Power is by obedience. The Bible said after Jesus was baptized of the Holy Ghost, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he was tempted, the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. And he said that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet in the land of Zebulun, in the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. He said the people that sat in darkness, behold, a great light is sprung forth. Jesus would not have been the light, but until he chose to obey. If Jesus had not obeyed, he would have remained a carpenter. He was 30 years a carpenter. But when he obeyed for 40 days, a carpenter changed into a light. He was not just a light for his family. He was a light unto Judea and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It took only 40 days of obedience. 40 years of prayer could not change anything. 30 years of prayers could not change anything. But 40 days of obedience transformed the carpenter to become a light. I don't know what you are in God. But let me tell you something. If you do not arise today, on the other side of the divide, you will be judged. Every one of us will be judged. God has not called you to be creative. Everything that you are supposed to be has already been written. The Holy Ghost came as a compass to guide you into your inheritance. He came as a compass to guide you into your destiny. Those things have been written. God knows that today you will be on this mountain. And you are on this mountain today because tomorrow there is a city that you are supposed to deliver. But if your pride does not die, if your appetite does not die, maybe that city there is no light. You are the one who bring electricity there, but you are waiting for the government to take light. You have not seen yourself as a savior. The Bible says saviors shall arise from Mount Zion to judge the mounts of Esau. Until you see beyond your present circumstance, you cannot see God in your life. It's not the pathway of obedience. The pathway of obedience. Moses was a prince in Egypt. He was a prince. He had everything he needed. But a point came when kingdom began to rage in his heart. Kingdom began to rage. He thought he hated the Egyptians. He did not know that it was his own nation calling him. But the nations were calling. It was calling. You see, that point comes when suddenly you feel like praying. Every evening, before you used to go to watch this football match, but now every evening there's a hunger to pray. There's a hunger to pray. You don't know why. But the nations are beginning to call you. They are beginning to call you. See, when you begin to grow in God, you understand how spirits work. You see, there are times when, because your window is about to open, God deploys angels in your room. What those angels do is that they begin to charge the walls of the room. And then as you enter the room, you begin to hear music. You think you know the song. It's not a song you know. Angels are whispering it. You are picking it in your soul. What they are doing is that they are charging the room. They are charging the walls of the room. If you cooperate with them not too long, one day you will see Jesus walking through the wall. The men that see things are men of understanding. Moses thought he hated the Egyptian. He didn't know that the nations were calling. He killed an Egyptian. He came again. He wanted to kill another. They said, you that killed somebody, you want to correct us? And he ran away. He was running into the wilderness to be trained. Because everything God designed for you, sometimes they look like circumstances. You need to be a man of understanding to know that those things that are happening in your life are not circumstances. They are the pathways of ordination. Pray now. Saul went to look for his father's breathing asses. God had told Samuel that tomorrow the man that comes anoints him as king. In the head of Saul, he was looking for asses. He didn't know that his footsteps were being guided. Because the path of the just, the steps of the righteous is order. It's order. You didn't come to this mountain because your friend told you to come. You came because the nation is calling. The nation is calling. For Moses, it took him 40 years to lead sheep. God was not raising him to be a shepherd. The first sheep. He was supposed to carry 3 million people out of captivity. You see, these people don't have a culture. They have been in slavery all their lives. They were there for 430 years. It was Moses that would teach them how to pray. It was Moses that would teach them how to worship. It was Moses that would teach them how to talk, how to live like sons of God. He said, teach them statutes, ordinances, precepts, counsels, and ordination. Teach them those things. For Moses to have the stature to do it, he had to teach sheep in the wilderness for 40 years. Because the people he was going to carry would behave like animals. If Moses does not understand how animals behave, he wouldn't have survived with the children of Israel. The reason you are going through what you are going through today is because there is something waiting for you tomorrow. It is only through obedience that you will bend your head to learn the lessons now. Because in the day of your showing forth, it will be woe unto you if you fail. The Bible said John was separated into the wilderness on the day of his showing forth unto Israel. And how bright he appeared. Jesus said he was a burning and a shining light. Only looking at your circumstances, God will not take it away. What you need to do now is to begin to look at the Holy Spirit. Every time he whispers, obey. Obey. This one is not doctrine. I say I didn't come here to teach you doctrine. Every time the Holy Ghost whispers, obey. That's the path to greatness. And you have eluded it for long. A time will come when you come for prayer meeting and pray for 4 hours. You didn't touch the spirit realm, my sister. You only joined the convoy. When you get home, maybe that 5 minutes, a window opens. And God says, pray now. Oh, Jesus, I wish you could see in the spirit. Sometimes the things that come to you and you think is your thought, it was an angel whispering into your ears. Oh, my God. I wish you understand how the spirit realm operates. The angel comes and says, pray now. Oh, pray now. A window is open in heaven. Those things you were asking for, that is the time of the answer. You know, Jesus was walking into Jerusalem and he said, oh, he lamented over Jerusalem. He said, there will be no stone left here unturned. There will be gnashing of teeth. There will be besieged on every side. He said, because thou knowest not the times of thy visitation. Most of you have eluded your windows for long. For long. That time you ran from church and you wanted to go on Facebook. That was the time the Holy Ghost was speaking. When you were in church, you were the one talking. Now he wants to speak for you on Facebook. Be wise. It takes a man of understanding to understand the dynamics of the spirit. And until you get to that point, your life will never change. Some of you, there is a circle around your life. Every December, that is when you fall into immorality. You are not wise. The demons know that that is the time when your windows open. So before the windows open, first of all, 2 months ahead of time, they make you watch nude pictures. You watch nude pictures to fertilize your appetite. And then when the window is about to open, that's when that your old friend comes back and says, how have you been? You have thrown me away. It's a lie. If you are wise, you will tell him, we were never wise. Somebody who didn't talk to you from January comes in December and says, you have thrown me away. And then the next thing you are sitting in Mr. Beach. And then the next thing you are visiting in his house. You are not wise. You will remain in that circle for many years. Because you have received the doctrine that tells you that repentance is for everybody. That forgiveness is a free luxury. There is forgiveness, but there is also a call for service. It is the apostolic order of Christianity. It is a call unto obedience to the government of God. It's a call unto self-denial. A call unto sacrificial living. It's a help, therefore, having received a kingdom that cannot be moved, nothing moves that kingdom. Having received a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us receive grace whereby we serve God acceptably in reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Tonight, you want to receive of the earnest of the Spirit. I'll pray with you. I just wanted to lay foundations tonight. For I know you have been listening to the word of the Lord. You've been here from morning. Your cells are weak. But you see, there's an energy level in the spirit realm. Men of understanding know it. See, the reason we preach all through the night and we can still pray through the night is because we tap into an energy, not because we are strong men. Jesus will carry out the crusade through the whole day and then he will climb the mountain and pray till morning and then stand up and minister for the next day throughout. There is an energy in the spirit. I was teaching in the Bible school and I had taught for 12 hours. And then I told them it's time for impartation. And people could not even stand up, they were tired. I told them not to worry. There are energy levels in the spirit. If you have done chemistry, you know that there are electrons operate at different orbitals. There are energy levels in the spirit. One of the mysteries of ascending those heights in the spirit is called sound. You see, well, if you get the right sound, you can climb. And when you climb, suddenly, you that was weak, it enters you. But as that energy enters you tonight, I don't want you just to enjoy the atmosphere and fall down. We've seen people fall and they go back and commit sex. We've seen them. As the energy comes tonight, I want you to make a conscious commitment to the Holy Spirit. forget everybody. Tell the Holy Spirit, walk with me now. Give me another chance. I'm ready to walk with you.
The Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are his. They that nameth the name of the Lord should depart from iniquity. I've learned enough not to be deceived by people. I've seen pastors fall, and they did not come to be helped because they began to enjoy iniquity. I've learned enough not to be deceived. You can be here and stay, but nothing will change in your life. Change comes by the power of God. And as you make that decision under the anointing, the Holy Spirit begins to help you. Begins to help you. Can we be on our feet and pray for me? The Holy Ghost begins to help you. Some of you, the enemies that have fought you are enemies within. They are in your soul. They are strongholds of darkness. They are within. It's time to arise and contend for your destiny. Can you go ahead and pray in the spirit? Is there building up yourself upon your most holy faith? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Some of you are great men, some are great women. The devil has deceived you thus far. You have sold your future on the altar of pleasure. But tonight that enemy will be gauged. He said when the thief be caught, he will pay sevenfold. The years that the caterworm, the caterpillar worm, the palmer worms have eaten is about to be restored. Can you go ahead and talk to the Lord? Talk to the Lord tonight. Sapa teke borahata. Mama masaka bala babora. Ilele kaboborobo soma tahaya. Rahapa pata kiborobo bondo salata. Era kabobre deke sepala barino sata. Rapa teke bondo provo do bondo sarina. Rapa papala kaboboria. Ele kabababono somba la kababahataka. Cry to the Lord. Cry to the Lord. The day of salvation is now. Now is the day of salvation. Is there weeping they endure for the night? For joy comes in the morning. The morning is the presence of God. Weeping they endure for the night. You have been struggling with sin. You have been struggling with the particular type of iniquity. You can't even tell your friend. You can't tell your pastor. Pray to the Holy Ghost tonight.